Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Little trivia here, those of you that are maybe as old as I am, or I don't know. What rock group sang a song about this chapter? Yes, the Birds. I learned last night that it was first debuted on December 6, 1965. Can it really have been that long ago? I remember how excited I was as a kid to realize that there was a group on the top 40 radio that was actually singing a text from the Old Testament. I thought that was so cool. And of course, it was the album Turn, 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 The Bird, She Don't Care About Time. And they really didn't use poetic license with this. I mean, they just went right from the text and did a really good job. It's not something that you're apt to see in our sacred selections anytime soon, but they picked up something that was very profound and put it to music. And I was so glad that they did. One of the sections of this that has to do with these beautiful couplets about everything in time has to fit together was there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And reminded me of this quote that I like to use in wedding ceremonies by Gibran, a well-known poet. He said, sing and walk together and be joyous, but let each of you be alone at times, even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they may quiver with the same music. Sing the same song, but let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of the heavens dance between you. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's another way of saying that, yeah, there's a time to be together and there's a time to be separate. And then when you're separate, and then you can come back and share what you've both been through, there's some benefit in that. And it's just a wonderful explanation about how there's a time for every place and everything under heaven. If we can learn that in life, if we can teach that to our children, because so many people mess things up simply because they get things out of order. It is so true. I mean, when I was a kid, they had this little sort of rhyme about, you know, these two different boys and girls sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Remember that? Then it says, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby carriage, right? I mean, it's real simple, really. It should be love, marriage, then the babies. But how many people mess up that order? And to great social upheaval and to difficulties as a result of just not following some of these basic principles of order. Before we read these couplets and talk about them as your lesson asks us to deal with, and it really is fascinating to ponder, I want to talk about time in general. And I find this subject really timely, right? What is time? An earthly trust which, if invested wisely, will produce eternal treasures, right? There's a practice of Samurai warriors of Japan. They begin each day meditating on their own death and all the different possibilities of the things that might happen to them in that day. Now, that sounds a little morbid to me, but why do you think there's some value in that? Why did they, in their culture as warriors, think that that was a good way to start off the day? Yeah, I mean, that's a way to teach us to number our days, right? I mean, we tend to kind of think our death is always way, way off. These warriors especially, they never knew what was going to happen, and so it taught them to value and to treasure each moment by recognizing the fragility and the lack of, surety of the morrow. And the Bible teaches us to live our life that way over and over again. A wonderful psalm about this is taken from Psalm 39. It says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days, and let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. Wow, those are just really profound thoughts and things that are just as applicable today as they were 2,000 years ago when they, actually 3,000 years ago when they were written. There's some other statements about time I like. Live every day as if it were your last. One of these days you'll be right. Correct? You know, Jesus talked about watch and be ready, for you know not the hour when the Lord may come. Time, a daily treasure which attracts many robbers. Every day God gives us a gift of 86,400 seconds. A 24-hour period has that many seconds in it. I think God would have us to value and to make every second count and to remember it is a daily treasure which attracts many robbers. And every day we spend it, it's gone. It's not like money, where maybe you can save it up and not spend it and then spend it another day. Once that unit of time is gone, it is gone forever. And keeping that in mind, and the fact we have a limited number of days, should help us to really think through, how am I spending my time? Which is another way of, how am I living my life? Remember, this is a book about what is life. So no wonder we have this beautiful description about time. My dad used to always tell me, if you kill time, you murder success. And yet so many people just waste time. Ben Franklin said this, dost thou love life? Then squander not time, for time is the stuff that life is made of. And that, of course, is absolutely true. There's other unique things about time. The time it takes to do something tends to expand with the time available. You ever notice that? Most people spend more time planning a party than they do their lives, which is really sad. Only 3% of the population have taken the time and taken it seriously enough to sit down and write out the different aspects of their life and different goals and plans they have for the future. The average person spends 7 years and 8 months of their life watching TV. Used to be actually higher than that. Used to be 9 or 10 years. But you've got to also fit in 5 years and 4 months on social media, which is more time than eating, grooming, socializing, and housework put together. And more people are spending time on social media and less time watching TV. But still, when you put it all together, it's just a massive amount of time surfing the web. Some of that can be productive, but some of it can just be a time waster if we're not careful. How does that fit into our overall goals for what we want to do with life and how we think God wants us to live our life? Sharing money is far less generous than sharing time, because money is replenishable, but time is not. Funny thing is, children know this, while most adults don't. In fact, children spell love T-I-M-E. They ask a whole bunch of children, what do you want most from life and from your parents? Overwhelmingly, I want them to spend time with me. I want them to play with me. I want them, not just something they can buy me. It's about time. Another ironic thing is we tend to discount the value of time the more we perceive that we have left. So again, if you recognize this may be my last day, you know, the Lord may come at any hour. It may not be that we're going to die in some wreck or something. But the point is, wow, if you recognize that the time we have is precious, then we're going to make sure we use the time we have left in a way that's extremely valuable. This is one of the reasons why the younger one is, with this perception that they've got their whole life in front of them, which they may or may not, but the younger one is, the most likely he or she is to not be concerned about wasting time. Because there's this idea that, you know, it really doesn't matter. And yet the ironic thing about it is, Lamentations 3 and verse 27 tells us that it's good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth, to make wise choices when you're young, to use your time wisely when you're young, so that you can have a good adult life. So some of the most valuable time in your life is when you're young, and that's when you're most likely to just spend a bunch of time doing risky things and waste it. I read this years ago, made an impression on me. I spent my life wasting time, only to wake up one day, look in the mirror, and find out that time had wasted me. That's kind of a scary thought. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You've heard the saying, want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Right? One of the dangers of heavy debt and just going ahead and wanting to get everything you want even before you could afford it, but credit allows you to go ahead and just, you know, run up those cards, is that people assume that there's going to be no changes in their life that may make that debt something that later on you greatly regret. In fact, you know, you see all these foreclosures about all those people that are under foreclosure, you know, they were approved for a loan based upon an application that at the time looked like you can pay this loan back. But the problem is there are unexpected job losses, there are illnesses, there are divorces, which is the greatest destroyer of wealth in this country. There are things that happen where all of a sudden, oops, I can't make the payments anymore like I thought. Which means it's kind of wise, isn't it, to have a pretty good margin, have an emergency fund, you know, kind of save for a rainy day so some of these things that are not expected won't be just putting you into a crisis. If you boast in your arrogance, consider James 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Doesn't mean you don't make plans. Obviously, God wants us to make plans, and Proverbs chapter 4 talks a lot about that. But sometimes we're just arrogant and being just so sure that we can work out our plans. I noticed last week Ruth Bader Ginsburg was just assuring everybody, don't worry, I'm going to stay in my seat till I'm 90. Well, she might be able to do that. But I kind of worry about somebody boasting about that they're going to stay somewhere when they're at that age till they're 90 years old. May or may not work out for her. It would just be nice if somebody could say, assuming that I'm blessed to live that long or something. Life is too short. Romans 13, 11 through 14. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than we believe. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, but in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, But instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Again, an important perspective about dealing with life in sort of, you know, airtight compartments, one day at a time. Life is too precious. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. King James says, redeeming your time, investing it, using it wisely, because the days are evil, and we're soldiers of light, and we can make a difference by spending our time wisely. So then do not be foolish and while away your life and your time with things that really don't matter, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Stephen Jobs, when he was came down with a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, and he was only given a couple of years to live, I heard some of his speeches to graduating seniors, and the fact that he knew that he didn't have much longer to live really changed his perspective. And you know, one of the things he decided when he realized that he had terminal cancer, said, I'm not going to watch any more TV. I'm just not going to spend the precious few hours that I have left or years that I have left doing that. I'm going to try to spend it with the people I love and do things that are more worthwhile than that. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty about watching a favorite TV program. There can be some balance and value in that. But I thought that was really interesting, that that was one of the decisions that he made. And how about Colossians 4? Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So here's a factor on making sure you're connecting with outsiders and spending your time trying to reach out to others in a way that is wise. And, you know, watch your speech so that you can be salt and maybe make a difference in somebody else's life. I think of Esther 4 and verse 14. What is your time in the kingdom? And Mordecai challenged her with, who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So, I don't know how much time we have left, how much time I have left, you have left. But wow, what time we do have, we want to use wisely, right? And we need to remember, for everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And he hath made everything beautiful in its time. So let's go through these couplets. Yes, Colin, do you have a comment? Okay. Who are you pointing to? Les has a comment. Okay. I thought you were pointing to Colin. Just say the name, honey. Okay, Les. I didn't hear you. Sorry.
You know, we realize that we are made for eternity. There's more to life than just living on this earth. We're made for eternity.
Right, right.
Want to go to heaven, want to spend our time with the Lord and so forth. And that's kind of why things of time cannot fully or permanently satisfy us.
Good point. Because they're finite. They're finite. I have pulled this in my files. I've had this in my files for like over 30 years. It's just really made an impression on me. It's called What Time Is It For You by Life's Clock. We print below a timetable or clock of life which someone has prepared. In it, a mathematical parallel is made of the 70-year lifespan with a 24-hour day. If considered, it will cause some serious reflection, and it is to be desired to promptly to godly resolve. If you're 15, it's 8:51, and the day is just beginning. If you're 20, it's 11:08. It's already almost lunchtime. If you're 25, it's 12:25, past noon. If you're 30, it's 1:25, and the afternoon is just beginning. If you're 35, it's almost 3 o'clock. If you're 40, it's 4:16. Oh, how quickly time is passing. If you're 45, it's 5:43. If you're 50, it's 6:50. And the evening is just beginning. If you're 55, it's 8:08. If you're 60, it's 10:11. It's getting late. If you're 70, it's approaching midnight. And if you're as old as Peter Stelis, you're on borrowed time, right? And I'm sure Peter thinks about that a lot, because by reason of strength, God has blessed him. Wow. When the bell tolls for you at the midnight hour, on which side of God's judgment seat will you stand? What time is it with you by this imaginary clock of life? How much time in the flesh do you have left? In any event, it surely is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. May we pass the time of our sojourning here in fear and reverential worship in the service of God. That's thought-provoking, isn't it? I think so. Okay, let's look at, if you have your workbook, each of these couplets. Let me give you a little brief overview of these couplets. Seven parallel passages with the theme, God the Creator is in control. This is classic Hebrew parallelism that describes activities that take place in our generation. And the second line kind of explains the first. God controls through orderly laws and principles, and man may run contrary to appointed time and seasons, and that will bring you frustration and failure. The good man seeks to live in harmony, while the sinner tends to disregard this system. Secondly, its extended list shows many activities of life under God, and it surveys various activities of man from birth to death. There is nothing evil here, and all these things are inherently a part of God's plan. I want you to notice this includes hate, kill, rend, and war. There are times where these things have their place. Some are inevitable, like birth and weeping and healing and dying. God's laws are active in that. Some are based on men's decisions or discretion, such as embracing or keeping or loving. But good judgment dictates how we use those things. And people may work contrary to the seasons. Maybe it's a time to keep silent and instead you're talking. Or maybe it's a time to laugh when you should be mourning. It's wise to interpret the times and to adjust appropriately. And there is no chronological order. Each generation experiences different events at different times, and yet each generation needs to experience all of these events called life. Okay, so the first thing he talks about is a time to be born and a time to die. What are your thoughts when you think about that couplet? Probably the most simple of them all. Okay, there's a beginning and an end. What has our culture done increasingly to mess up many, many people's opportunity to be born? Yeah, abortion. I mean, no respect whatsoever for this new human being and its opportunity to do the very basic thing, and that is to be born. 1.37 million babies in America, 3,700 a day don't get a chance to be born, usually, not always, but usually simply because it's just not wanted or it's inconvenient at the time for the parents. And then we have this, a time to die. I remember in talking with Paul Andrews when he got a diagnosis that indicated he didn't have much longer to live. And I called him and we chatted and asked him what I could do for him. Could I pray for him? He goes, oh yes, pray for me. But please don't pray that my life be extended. I've lived a long life. The doctor says this is natural. This is my time. Just help me to handle this transition well, and help the people around me that I will miss to handle this well. That was what he wanted for his prayer. And he just had a peace about it, because he says, I've been knowing this was going to happen one day my whole life. and I feel like I'm ready, and it's okay. So that's recognizing that it's a time to die, instead of maybe just acting like that's always a tragedy. Remember that if man hadn't sinned and he'd stayed in paradise, there would have been no death. So death wasn't God's original plan, all this corruption and the things that are associated with death. But now that we live in a fallen world, everybody has to eventually die, with the exception of those who are alive when the Lord returns, when you'll be transformed. Yes, Les. Oh, that's a good one.
We should live that way, knowing that we could go at any time. That's just, well, our soul.
Yep. And that's a piece that passes understanding. So there is a time to be excited about a birth, but also understand that dying is just as much a part of living as living is. And doing that with grace and respect is important. All right, a time to plant and a time to pluck that which is planted. Okay, we're not a bunch of farmers, but what does that mean to you? Well, yes?
Sorry, going back to the time to be born and the time to die.
Sure.
This is the only one that's not a choice. So we talk about how much time is, you know, a choice of how you spend it. But you can't choose when you're born and you can't choose when you die.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of a parent having an argument with a rebellious teenager, and the teenager says, you know, I didn't ask to be born. And the parent says, well, the way you're acting now, if you did ask, I'd probably said no. So, any rate, that's correct. You just are born into this world, and blessed that you are. It's precious. Yes, Yelena. Okay, all right. This idea number two, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Obviously, if you're a farmer, there's a growing season depending on where you live, and you better plant right after the winter thaw oftentimes so that you give your crops time to grow. There's a time to plant, and you better be busy planting at that time or you're going to be in trouble. And then, of course, once things have gotten ripe, what happens if you put off harvesting your crops? They rot in the fields, right? So there's a time for planting that is very critical, and there is a time for harvesting that is very critical, or else you're going to lose the crop and all that effort is wasted. And there is even a time to kill and a time to heal. Exodus chapter 20 says that thou shalt not, actually the translation there should be murder. So this isn't there's a time to murder. But there is apparently times where someone may kill. There's a time maybe where you might have cattle and it's time to harvest those cattle and to, you know, use them for meat. And I think there is a time for capital punishment. The Bible clearly teaches, in spite of what the Pope has recently said, that if someone sheds another man's blood, his own blood should be shed, for we are all made in the image of God. So the Bible clearly teaches that there are appropriate times to, you know, stop evil by, if someone has clearly gone through due process and they have done horrific things, that they pay the ultimate price for it. But more importantly, there's a time to heal. Someone's been wounded. Clean out that wound and give it time to heal. And don't put too much pressure on a bone after it has been broken. Properly set it and let it heal. And that's also true emotionally, right? You've been hurt. You plow your soul. You're grieving. And then there's a grieving process. That's a healing process. It's a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. What might that have reference to? Might a building get to the point that it's not worth saving anymore? You know, I used to teach at Florida College, and most of that campus originally came from buildings built in the 20s, which they refurbished. Eventually, those buildings just had to be torn down and rebuilt. It just wasn't worth trying to fix them. So there's a time to break down and then build anew, right? And I think also, emotionally, there's a time to break down. There's a time to humble yourself, particularly if you need to repent of sin. And then after that, there's a time to be built up or to be edified, right? In fact, when we come to the assembly, 1 Corinthians 14, over and over again, we're told in this assembly chapter of the Bible, 8 different times the word build up or edify is used. So we're here to worship God and to edify or build up each other. Yes, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. I would just use the word Jewish traditions that had superseded the law, which it should never have been. Yeah. Yeah, and what's the minister supposed to do? Reprove, rebuke if there's a rebuke that is needed, but then always exhort, build up at the end. Yeah. Time to weep, time to laugh. If you only do one or the other, you're only half a man. It's unfortunate, but most of the time somebody starts to shed a tear, they feel a need to apologize. It's just, especially if you're a man, you feel a need to apologize. And yet, John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, one of my favorites, Jesus wept. So someone is overcome with grief or whatever, they're crying, you're in good company. The Savior himself wept. And what has God given to us in tears that is helpful, not a sign of weakness? Yeah, there's a cleansing, it releases endorphins, painkillers, you're suffering pain, you cry and you feel better. In fact, David said that sorrow cometh in the nighttime, but joy cometh in the morning. And so the picture here almost is like somebody who kind of cries himself to sleep, but they feel so much better after a good night's rest. So there is a time to weep, and there's also a time to laugh and have fun. Laughter strengthens the immune system, and sometimes to let loose and have healthy fun is a great thing. Well, he's perfect, and I'm sure that's a part of his infinite being, but maybe not in the ways that we do. You know, the Puritans kind of had this idea that, you had to be somber and serious all the time. And they looked down upon, sort of being giddish or revelry. And again, everything is balanced. There is a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and even a time to dance. What did Jesus say about those who mourn? He said, blessed are they that mourn. The idea here is mourning over your sins. And yes, there's a time, if you've done wrong, to be convicted and to mourn over that. If you're going to have an effective punishment for children, you have to do something that in some way hurts. I don't mean in an abusive way. But you revoke a privilege or you discipline in a way that gets their attention so that they can then recognize this is serious and I need to do better. So there is a time that it's appropriate to mourn, but there's also a time when it's appropriate to dance. Now, this isn't talking about the modern kind of salacious dance. There's no time ever for that. But in the Bible, frequently dancing is kind of like Fred Flintstone, yabba dabba doo. You know, you kind of, yeah, it's rejoicing. It's
celebrating.
Yeah, it's a celebration in a good way. Three Dog Night used to sing, celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. Okay, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. So the cycle of life. Time to clear a field, right? Maybe. And it's time to maybe build up stones to build an altar or a building or a monument. All's a part of the cycle of life. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. There are certain things and times when it's appropriate to hug and to give comfort. And then there are other times where it's best to refrain from that. A time to gain and a time to lose. Any thoughts about that? Okay, assuming you've got some sort of work ethic, you'll gain over time. Yeah, you might save. I mean, is there a time to save for retirement? Is there a time to try to build up your career, your business, you know, as you look at the cycle of life? Sure, there's a time for that. But no doubt as things unfold, there's also a time to let go. I mean, I think about accepting all these different alternatives. You have a family. You gain the blessing of children, but then they get to a certain age. You have to, at some point, realize it's time to let go, right? And a lot of folks have trouble with the empty nest. Some of that's having trouble letting go. There's a time to gain and a time to let go. And you don't want your children to be living with you the rest of their life anyway, right? That's not good for them. That's not healthy. So, yes, you have to remind yourself that this is something you can accept and rejoice at this stage of life. Yes, lesson 10.
When I was studying this, I know the book says the gain and the loss, but mine says a time to search and a time to give up. I had a hard time because I don't have any notes in my study Bible to kind of tell me what they're meaning by search and give up versus gain and loss.
Yeah, my American Standard says a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. So a time to seek gain seems to be the impression. And then maybe there's a time to start giving away, right, what you have gained. All right, Pat, do you have a comment? Yeah. If you're really a good parent, and part of that is being a good disciplinarian while they're young, then your children can be your best adult friends for the rest of your life. But if you're too worried about being their peer and liked when they're a kid, you're not going to tend to have it in well on the other side. So again, all of these things have to do with balance. This idea of a time to gain, a time to lose, probably Job had the ultimate amazing attitude about that. He had great gain, lost it all, then he got double back, and his attitude was what? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. A time to tear and a time to sow. Well, this probably is more cultural. In the Mideast culture, what would you do if you were really grieving or upset about something? Yeah, you'd rend your garments. It's a very common thing to do. And then after you rend your garments to show grief or being upset, then you would hopefully repair that garment. And even though that seems a little strange to us, better to rend your garment than to punch somebody out, right? A time to keep silent and a time to speak. And a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a network of silver. And the challenge is having the wisdom to figure out when it's time to be silent and when it's time to speak. I love Abe Lincoln's comment. Sometimes if thought a fool, it's best to remain silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And silence isn't always golden. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. I mean, sometimes you do need to speak up, particularly for moral principle. And yes. Amen. Yeah, we've been given two ears, maybe so we can listen twice as much as we talk. Learn by listening. That's so true. And he that is wise restrains his lips, Proverbs 10 and verse 19. A time to love and a time to hate. I saw a couple of people kind of be surprised when I mentioned that all of these things have their place and all of these things are inherently good. We're told to abhor that which is evil. You know, there are certain injustices that we ought to hate. So you don't hate people, but there certainly are principles and things that ought to cause you to be filled with righteous indignation. And good lovers are good haters. Not in a negative way, but it's an emotion that God put within us that needs to be channeled appropriately. And I hope we all, the more we love the Lord, the more we come to hate evil, right? And that will motivate us to try to fight against evil. And of course, there's a time to love and to be mature. And it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And then this next is interesting, a time to war and a time for peace. When might there be a time for war? How about D-Day, when the nation is defending itself from an unprovoked attack? I mean, a time for peace, of course, we all know the value of that after you've done what you're supposed to do. Okay, wow, I think, just think that's a fascinating discussion. And just doing things in the proper order and in the proper time. So go out there and live on purpose and use your time wisely. Yes, Les. Yeah.
Because they didn't look for peace. They looked for retribution. They looked for punishment and so forth, rather than let's get peace here and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very true. And now we've got Japan and Germany as our allies where they were our enemies. So time for war, time for peace. Good thoughts. Thank you all very much. I love this study. Appreciate your input. And we'll look at the next part of this chapter next time. Thank you.